A very good afternoon to you, Namibia, and a warm welcome to On The Radar News Analysis right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju. Now, it's Wednesday, the 13th of August, 2025, and while the calendar may say midweek, Namibia's economic engine never takes a break. At the heart of keeping that engine running is tax. How it's collected, how it's managed, and how it's used. Today, we turn the spotlight on the Namibia Revenue Agency, NAMRA, and the critical role it plays in tax administration. From ensuring compliance and widening the tax net to tackling illicit trade and supporting public revenue collection, NAMRA is more than just an institution. It's a key player in funding the services, infrastructure, and programs that keep this country moving. But how effectively is it doing that job? Are systems transparent and efficient enough to build a public trust? Well, we'll be hearing from the man who is right at the heart of NAMRA, the commissioner of NAMRA. Now, so whether you're crunching numbers in an office, running a small business, or just curious about where your tax dollars go, well, stay tuned. Stream us live on Eagle FM app or Eagle FM website and join the conversation on WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. This is On The Radar, where Namibia's power, policy, and people meet. Unfiltered, let's get right into it. Namibia's revenue agency, NAMRA, says its consistent success in exceeding revenue targets over the past 4 years is the result of a deliberate and a focused tax enforcement and compliance strategy. Speaking at the Government Information Sharing Center, GIC, NAMRA Commissioner Sam Shivute revealed that prior to the reforms, Namibia's tax system faced several loopholes. This included individuals receiving funds they were not entitled to and widespread tax evasion. The agency responded by tightening enforcement, strengthening compliance, monitoring, and closing system gaps. Now, this approach, Shivute says, has enabled Namibia not only to meet but to consistently support its revenue collection targets. Shivute also highlighted Namibia's performance in the African Tax Administration Forum, also known as ATF or ATAF, Tax Outlook Report, which tackles the ratio of tax revenue to GDP across the continent. Now, for the past 2 years, Namibia has ranked number one in Africa, ahead of South Africa in second place. Now, ATAF, that is African Tax Administration Forum, is a continental body established in 2009 to improve tax policy and administration across Africa. It works to strengthen domestic resource mobilization, curb illicit financial flows, and promote fair and efficient tax systems to drive sustainable development on the continent. Its goal is to ensure African countries can raise more of their own revenue to fund public services, reduce reliance on external aid, and support economic growth. According to Shivute, Namibia's top ranking demonstrates the impact of targeted reforms and the importance of continued vigilance in tax administration. Let's take a listen to the commissioner himself.
I think we need to commend and appreciate the leadership of the Namibian government, who made a decision that Namibia need to have a semi-autonomous revenue agency. That decision was taken in 2013. 2017, the law was passed. 2019, the governing board was appointed. 2020, the commissioner, founding commissioner, was appointed September. Then on the 7th of April, 2021, Namibia Revenue Agency was then launched. The idea was always Namibia Revenue Agency was established to bring about efficiency in tax administration and also to collect sufficient revenue so that the government is able to deliver on its developmental agenda. So I'm very happy that together with the team, we needed to develop a strategic plan. And with that strategic plan, we started with 7 strategic objectives. And out of those 7 strategic objectives, they have been our number one strategic objective of maximizing revenue collection. But as if that was not enough, we also then developed what is called Namibia Revenue Agency Compliance and Enforcement Strategy. That strategy had a number of pillars that we needed to focus on.
The Namibia Revenue Agency says its compliance strategy has been strengthened by the establishment of a transfer policy unit, which monitors multinational corporations to ensure they pay the correct amount of income tax in Namibia. Commissioner Sam Shivute explained that after targeted audits, several multinationals have begun contributing significantly to the national revenue base. Addressing the issue of illicit financial flows, Shivute noted that the problem remains a serious challenge for Namibia and the African continent at large. He cited the Thabo Mbeki report of 2015, officially known as the High-Level Panel on Illicit Financial Flows from Africa report, which found that Africa loses an estimated $50 billion every year through practices such as trade misinvoicing, tax invasion, money laundering, and profit shifting by multinational companies. Now, the report commissioned by the African Union, AU, and the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, UNECA, and chaired by former South African President Thabo Mbeki, urged African states to strengthen tax systems, improve transparency, and crack down on cross-border illicit transactions. In response, Namibia, in collaboration with the AU and EU, has initiated a project to trace and identify the channels through which these illicit financial flows occur. Now, according to Shivute, this has already prompted the launch of several audits aimed at recovering lost revenue and ensuring that Namibia's wealth remains within its borders to support national development.
So that we can make sure that we improve revenue collection. But it was not only about the enforcement and compliance strategy. We also had a strategic objective for us to do stakeholder engagement, taxpayer awareness, to engage more with our taxpayer and do things that have not been done before. But we also focus on closing the loopholes, because what we have noted is that in the tax administration system, there used to be a number of loopholes. There used to be a number of individuals who used to be getting refunds that they are not entitled to. The issue of tax evasion have been happening. So we just then working towards that, implementing that tax enforcement and compliance strategy, we were able then to not only to meet, but to consistently exceed the revenue target for the past 4 years. But it doesn't stop there. If one now goes to the ATAF tax outlook, for the past two consecutive years, in terms of tax ratio to GDP in Africa, I'm very happy that for the past two consecutive years, Namibia is number one, followed by South Africa. But before that, it used to be always Seychelles, Mauritius, and South Africa. And we are very happy that our tax ratio to GDP now is the highest in Africa. Mm-hmm. And that is the call, both from IMF and the African Development Bank, that African countries, they have a developing country, we have to collect or to improve our tax ratio to GDP so that we are in a position as developing nation to fund our developmental agendas. We have put measure in place to improve tax compliance. I'll give an example. In 2005, the transfer pricing law was passed in Namibia. Mm-hmm. And with the establishment of NAMRA, what we did, we also then set up a transfer pricing unit. And as a result of that, we have seen some multinational who have been operating in Namibia for a number of years, and they have not contributed or paid any income tax or corporate tax. Mm-hmm. And when we started auditing them, all of a sudden we see them contributing and paying good income tax, which is very good, which is very good for Namibia. Mm-hmm. So that is one area that we have noted. We are also very happy to note that the issue of illicit financial flow is one thing that have been a very, very serious problem, not only in Namibia, but in Africa. Mm-hmm. If one look at the Thabo Mbeki report, that was issued in 2015. Mm-hmm. It talks about $50 billion leaving Namibia and leaving Africa on an annual basis. And the International Integrity Financial Report put that amount now to $8-9 billion on an annual basis. So what we have done in Namibia, working with African Union and also UN, we have, UNTAD, what we have done, we have started working on project to determine as to within our jurisdiction, where is that illicit financial flow taking place. And as a result of that, we have already started conducting some auditing. Then the other area where we have been taking measures as well, especially within the custom space, there have been a number of misclassification of goods or undervaluation of goods that are being imported into our country. And we have been working with a number of developmental partners like the IMF, the IMF and the WCO, just to capacitate our teams. We have a section that deals with valuation and classification. And as a result of that, you will then find some trader who in the past used to undervalue or misclassify the goods that they are importing in Namibia so that they do not pay the relevant or necessary customs duties. And as a result of that, what we are seeing is that if you try to understand the challenges that you are facing and you introduce measure to address those challenges, then you will see compliance coming about. So I think those are some of the measures that we have put in place.
And now let's pause right here for a commercial break, but we'll be back shortly to continue. This is On The Radar Analysis. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia. ShopRite is celebrating 35 years of serving Namibia. For 3.5 decades, we've proudly brought you quality products at unbeatable prices. And it's all thanks to you, our loyal customers. Come and enjoy exciting birthday specials across the store. It's our way of saying thank you, Namibia. Come celebrate 35 years of value at ShopRite. ShopRite, low prices you can trust always.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Continuing with our news analysis today, the Namibia Revenue Agency has also officially accredited 5 Namibian traders as authorized economic operators, also known as AEOs, a status often described as VIP treatment in customs and administration. Now, speaking at the announcement, Commissioner Sam Shivute explained that the accreditation is part of Namibia's commitment as a member of the World Customs Organization, WCO, to implement international best practices in trade facilitation. The AEO program is designed to recognize traders who consistently demonstrate high levels of compliance, secure supply chain practices, and efficient record keeping. Now, to end this status, traders undergo a rigorous verification process, including audits of their customs history, security measures, and operational integrity. Once accredited, AEOs enjoy a range of benefits, such as faster clearance of goods, reduced inspections, priority treatment at border posts, and simplified customs procedures. According to Shivute, The arrangement benefits both the private sector and NAMRA. Traders save time and money through streamlined processing, while NAMRA is able to allocate resources more efficiently, focusing its checks on higher risk consignments. Now, this improves trade efficiency, boosts investor confidence, and enhances Namibia's competitiveness in regional and global markets. Chivote added that the AEO program is part of Namibia's broader strategy to strengthen trade partnerships, modernize customs operations, and align with global standards that encourage legitimate trade with safeguarding the country's borders.
Now, the World Customs Organization, they have a program called Safe Standard of Work, Safe Standard of Work Framework. Within that framework, you then have also what a program called Authorized Economic Operator. Mm-hmm. What does this authorized economic operator mean? The purpose of this authorized economic operator program is to secure and facilitate global trade. Within that program then, there are then some requirements where we say you do not necessarily, when you have to facilitate trade or to facilitate trade, you do not necessarily have to check and physically inspect all the consignment that are coming in. Just maybe to take you back, every goods that have to be imported in this country or have to be exported from Namibia to any other jurisdiction, it have to be declared and cleared by Namibia Revenue Agency and also by other regulatory body that operate at the borders. Now, what then happened within this program then? This program then offers, or it have specific criteria that says that, look, there are already some traders who are very compliant and they do not offer higher risk to the trading, to the customs administration. Now, as a result of that, if they meet those requirements, what you will then need to do, you give them an opportunity to self-risk assess. And when they self-risk assess and they pass those criteria, then you then accredit them and give them those benefits. What are the criteria that we look at for when these traders or businesses have to go through? Those criteria, for example, we look what are their compliant custom compliant records. Maybe they do not have issue of violation of customs law, mm-hmm. undervaluation, misclassification, and so on. Then one also look, what is their management system? Do they have procedures as to how to deal with their trade, the importation and exportation of their goods? Mm-hmm. Then you also look at their financial solvency. Are they solvent? So they say there is a self-assessment first that they have to go through. Mm-hmm. And after they have done the self-assessment, they will then subject themselves to an audit and also a risk assessment by Namibia Revenue Agency. That is our colleague from Customs and Excise Department. Mm-hmm. And if they then pass all the criteria, then they can then be accredited as what is called authorized economic operator. Mm-hmm. Once they get that accreditation, then it comes with a number of benefits. For example, they will be getting expedited VAT refunds, which mm-hmm. is really meaning that they will be getting preferential treatment compared mm-hmm. to the others. Mm-hmm. They will be subjected to reduced inspection, physical inspection and audit. Mm-hmm. They will be having a relationship manager. So they will be treated like a VIP, mm-hmm. like when you have a private banker manager mm-hmm. in the bank. That is exactly what they are going to have. And in the future, as we grow as an institution, we would even want them to have a red carpet at the border, or even some of their executive, when they enter the country at the normal airport, they do not even, their bags will not be subjected to search because we trust them. Mm-hmm. They have gone through a very rigorous process of ensuring that they comply and they want to comply with the revenue laws.
NAMRA Commissioner Sam Chivuta says the agency is taking concrete steps to address challenges faced by small businesses, particularly order with me traders, regarding delays in customs clearance and high charges. Now, speaking at the recent media briefing, Chivute acknowledged that many small-scale traders who often import goods in smaller consignments have raised concerns about the lengthy processing times and the costs associated with clearing goods at the border. He noted that these traders form an important part of Namibia's informal and formal economy, creating jobs and supplying goods to communities nationwide. Now, to ease the burden, NAMRA is working on streamlining customs procedures for small consignments, reviewing fee structures to ensure fairness, and improving communication channels so traders receive timely updates on their shipments. Chivute emphasized that the agency's goal is to strike a balance, facilitating legitimate trade while maintaining the necessary checks to protect Namibia's borders and revenue. He added that ongoing consultations with trader associations will help NAMRA refine its approach, ensuring small businesses can operate efficiently without being disproportionately affected by bureaucratic delays or high costs. Now let's pause right here. We'll be back shortly. This is On the Radar Analysis.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. You are tuned in to On the Radar Analysis. Now, right online with us in studio is the Commissioner of NAMRA, Sam Chivute. Good afternoon, Sam. Thank you for making time for us right here.
Good afternoon, Namibia.
Yeah, Dr. Sam, kindly just explain to us why the revenue collection is important for Namibia as a whole and for you and I and every Namibian out there.
Thank you very much for that question. Revenue collection is very important for Namibia because that is the funds that can be used to develop our country. Mm-hmm. Like it has already been indicated as well, that the only way to sustainably fund our development is through taxation.
Yeah.
But again, by the beginning of July, there was this big meeting in Spain, in Sevilla, mm-hmm. where all the global leaders made commitments. There were about 25 commitments made and 130 action items. One of the commitments that were made there is that developing countries have to strengthen their domestic resource mobilization. It's mm-hmm. not like in the past where there used to be a lot of official development assistance or aid money.
Yeah.
That is in the past. For a country to address your developmental agenda, one need to mobilize or to strengthen your domestic resource mobilization. Because what you also need to understand is that even if a developing country goes out there and borrow,
mm-hmm.
that debt would still have to be serviced with taxpayers' money. So the best is to really strengthen domestic resource mobilization, strengthen our tax system,
mm-hmm.
and also improve the quality of our expenditure. So as we are collecting the money, it's also important that we pay special attention as to how the money is being utilized. And that is the best way that we can develop our country. But also there is also an issue of a number of leakages, including illicit financial flows.
Yeah.
Those loopholes we need to serve in the best interest of Namibia.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, NAMRA has done such a good job in exceeding its revenue targets, and we do really give our thumbs up to NAMRA in that regard. But what can every ordinary Namibian, such as I and someone sitting at home, how can we play our part to ensure that NAMRA does its work efficiently and effectively?
Okay. I think one way that we can do that, NAMRA did not achieve this by its own.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we do receive support from our political principal, Ministry of Finance, make sure that we are properly funded and so on.
Yeah.
But what I would ask, I think the members of the public or our clients They need to understand our role, and we need to work together. What we are also seeing, there are also cases of corruption happening, or bribery and so on. There are a pocket of cases still happening within the tax administration, mm-hmm. be it within the customs administration. So what we need to do as members of the public is to make sure that when we see cases where there is an abuse or there is a demand for corruption or bribery, those cases must be reported. Mm. And I think that is one of the best ways that you, a public member, can contribute. And also try to familiarize themselves with the revenue laws, and also where there is a company or individuals who would want a public awareness or tax education, we are always ready to provide such services, because okay. our offices and our presence, our footprint is all across Namibia, in every region, every border, every airport, we are there, but we are always ready to help. But we are also saying, any service that is provided by NAMRA, it's free of charge. No one should pay for a service for NAMRA. Mm. But again, when we see then those who are not doing their part, those who are under-declaring, those who are not declaring, we must also report to them so that there's a relevant action is taken.
Absolutely. Commissioner, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader Analysis.
No, thank you very much, Happy. We want to thank the Namibian people for their support and cooperation. We are not yet where we want to be. We still have a lot of work to bring about to improve service delivery. We want to continue serving Namibia with passion. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you, Happy.
Okay. Bye. And there you had it from the Commissioner of NAMRA, Sam Shivute, also just sharing his information with us. And as you know, he has already shared much of the information that we have been listening to right here. Now, this is On The Radar Analysis. We are taking a commercial break. And when we're back, we'll be bringing yet something interesting. Stay tuned right here on The Radar Analysis.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always...
Do you want to stand a chance of winning a 500 Namibian dollar gift voucher courtesy of ShopRite USave? Then simply tell us, what is the ShopRite Namibia website? Send your answers in a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Tune in this Friday from 1:45 to hear if you are this week's lucky winner. You save, I save, we all save at USave.
Doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not.
Welcome back. Like I said, you are tuned into On The Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now, the Velvicha University, the Velvicha Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, School of Law, is excited to announce the launch of two new short courses designed to equip professionals with practical knowledge in key legal sectors. Now, these courses are tailored to meet the evolving needs of Namibia's workforce and are delivered fully online for your convenience. Now, to help me unpack this wonderful news is Professor Marvin Awarab from the Velvicha University. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome to On The Radar Analysis.
Good afternoon, and thanks for having me.
Of course, pleasure is all mine. Now, can you briefly explain what the new short courses offered by the Velvicha Faculty of Law are all about?
Okay, now we have introduced two short courses, namely the Workplace Dispute Resolution Certificate and a Certificate in Telecommunications Policy and Regulation. Now, these two short courses are designed in an aim to meet the Namibia's developmental goals, in the sense that we want to equip professionals who are working in a particular area of the law,
yeah,
or even particular area of their what they're working with,
mm-hmm,
just to equip them with the necessary skills and competencies within this identified two areas of law, mm. you'll find that there are professionals, for instance, if you look at the workplace sector, you'll find professionals who are coming from an HR background.
So yeah.
they know how employee relations work, but they don't know how the law is being applied to resolve workplace disputes. So the workplace dispute resolution certificate is aligned to meet the needs of line managers, trade mm-hmm. union workers, and mm-hmm. all those who are dealing with resolution of disputes within the workplace setting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at the certificate in telecommunications policy and regulation, we find that there are individuals that know the technical aspects of telecommunications, but they are not well appraised with what the law provides in regulating the telecommunications industry.
Yeah.
So that particular certificate is therefore designed to assist those persons who are within the telecommunications sector,
mm-hmm.
but they are not really appraised or they don't have a comprehensive understanding of what the law provides
as mm.
regulation and policy analysis is concerned.
Mm-hmm. In other words, also media practitioners can also enroll themselves for this course, eh? And
yeah.
when they are reporting on law-related matters, we kind of have a know-how of exactly what is happening.
Of what the law provides and how the law regulates the media industry as a whole.
Mm, interesting. Now, how are those short courses or those courses delivered, and how can interested individuals apply?
Okay, now the two short courses are offered fully online. So we are cognizant of the fact that most applicants or prospective applicants are persons who are currently employed, and obviously it will be difficult for them to sit through the full day face-to-face lectures. So we have designed them in such a way that they are offered online in the evenings, and the applications can equally be done through the university website, which is now www.wu.edu.na. So they can access the application forms there, and they can fill out the applications fully online, and the delivery of the content is equally online.
Okay. Now, for those interested, what are the admission requirements for those courses?
Now, considering that these are short courses and they are professional development courses, they should at least have grade 12 certificate with 22 points. So grade 12 certificate with 18 points in 5 best subjects with a minimum of D in English. And those who are coming out of grade 11 should at least have 22 points in 5 subjects with a minimum symbol of D in English. I mean, they will be required to analyze policy. They will be required to look at what the law provides. So it's imperative that we look at the English symbol.
Mm.
So we are placing it at the minimum of D.
Okay. Interesting. Awesome. Now, why should professionals consider these two short courses?
Now, this, as I've indicated earlier, they are professional development courses. And invariably, law applies to all sectors of society. Regardless of where you find yourself, there is an act of parliament or there is case law or policy which regulates and governs your behavior and your conduct.
Yeah.
Therefore, we want to extend the legal aspects to other areas such as the workplace I've mentioned, as well as telecommunications to a policy to allow those persons that will be now having this certificate to be able to operate and effectively discharge their duties and mandates in their respective spheres.
Mm. Okay. Now, Prof. Awarab, am I saying that right? Okay.
Yeah, spot on.
Okay, cool. Now, what is the cost of each course, short course, and where are there perhaps any additional fees that the applicants and the successful applicants can expect?
Let me start off with the application fee. So each application fee costs $230 Namibian. So
okay.
everyone who intends to submit an application form,
mm-hmm.
it must be accompanied by an application fee of $230 Namibian, and the cost per certificate is $5,500.
Okay. And how and where should applicants pay their application and course fees?
Okay. So the application can be submitted online using the university website, www.wu.edu.na. And then when they visit the website, the application form will just simply pop up and they can complete the application form online and also attach the required documents also on the online platform. The payment can equally be done through the university's banking details, which can equally be accessed on the university website. Everything is smooth and it's effective online.
Okay.
But we are cognizant that there are persons who might not be able to visit the Benicia University campuses physically.
Mm.
That's why we have made the online platform available.
Mm-hmm.
Also, those who are unable to submit or who are struggling with the university website can equally visit any of the Benicia University campuses.
For instance, the city campus in Bendigo,
yeah,
are the satellite campuses, and they can obtain the physical hard copy of the application form, and we'll assist them with the application process.
Okay. Prof, let's go back to the cost of the short course. Did you mention only 5,500 Namibian dollars for the short course?
Only 5,500 Namibian dollars per course. Because we have, since it's a professional development course, unlike a full-fledged course, we have tried to reduce the amount so that every person will be able to be, will afford to either register and also enroll for the course.
Okay, and the only additional cost is the 230 Namibian dollars for the application fee.
Application fee, that's right.
Okay. Now, when will the courses officially start and how long will they run?
Okay, the course, let me first start off by the application period. So the application period opened on the 1st of August and it is closing on the 30th of August. And the lectures are set to resume or to commence rather on the 1st of September this year. And it will be for the duration of 3 months.
So in other words, Prof, you're actually saying if I sign up for this short course, by the end of the year, I will have my certificate?
Definitely. That's the plan. We are trying to keep it short so that before the end of the year, you should have met that objective or goal you have set at the beginning of the year.
Okay. Interesting, hey? Now, Prof, can you summarize the key deadline prospective students should keep in mind?
Okay. So there are two short courses: Workplace Dispute Resolution and a Certificate in Telecommunications Policy and Regulation. The application period is running from the 1st of August to the 30th of August, with the lectures commencing on the 1st of September. Minimum fee is 5,500 Namibian dollars for the course, and the application fee is 230 Namibian dollars. Everything is easily accessible on the university website.
Now, lastly, Prof, once I do sign up for this course, the short course, let me put it like that, which is only three months, do you mean I'll be able to graduate come next year?
Once you successfully complete the course, you sit through your exams and you attain the competencies,
mm-hmm,
definitely you'll be a graduate next year.
Interesting. And just like that, next year I could be having my certificate.
You'll be able to walk on the stage and get your certificate.
Okay. Prof, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader Analysis and sharing that new insightful information in regards to the short courses at Velvicia.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And now for a short commercial break.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Attention professionals, applications are now open for the Vichy University School of Law exciting new short courses in workplace dispute resolution and telecommunications policy. Gain practical skills online in just 3 months. Apply before 30 August 2025. The application fee is only 230 Namibian dollars, payable directly to Velvicia University. Bank details available on www.wu.edu.na. Course fees are 5,500 Namibian dollars per course with easy online application and studies. Don't miss this chance to boost your career with Velvicia's expert-led courses. Visit www.wu.edu.na and apply today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast.
Stock up for August with real value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 High Baby active diapers at only $124.99. See all our real value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. This is On The Radar Analysis. You are tuned into On The Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Now, of course, now I'm joined in studio by Sean Jordan. Uisab, Sean Jordan, welcome to On The Radar Analysis.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Sean, let's talk about 4AI. Well, I'll keep on saying AI because AI, I think, is now in my head, hey? Al Jazeera journalists were killed by an Israeli strike in Gaza City on Sunday. Among them, 28-year-old correspondent Anas Al-Sharif, who had reported prominently on the war since its onset. Just how do you talk about this gruesome attack on journalists, hey?
I think, first of all, hello to all of our listeners. Second of all, I think this isn't something you take lightly because we're all journalists ourselves and we have an idea of how scary it can be in different parts of the world. It also kind of shows how lucky we are that we're in a country where we can report on things without the fear of being in that position.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just very much underrated, hey?
Yeah, it's something that we don't have to think about a lot. You know, you can report on something going on and you don't have to worry about like threats to your life, threats
someone
to your
coming
family.
After you. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's such a blessing, man. And, it also kind of shows how, because with these four journalists specifically, right, they, since before October 7th, 2023, I believe, these journalists have been at the forefront of reporting what's been happening throughout the Gaza Strip, with the Israel-Gaza conflict. And they've made it a point to, really tell the stories that are on the ground, the suffering that has been taking place in the specific region of the world, and it's why it's such a difficult thing to talk about, because so many people around the world were informed on what was going on through these people, through these voices. They were able to really amplify they were able to amplify the very marginalized voices of the people that were suffering under the occupation. So it's pretty sad and it's pretty gruesome, and it shows that at any point press freedom can dissipate and can be taken for granted.
Yeah. Now, El Sharif's last tweet on X, posted minutes before he was killed, warned that Israel's latest plan to invade Gaza risked muzzling Palestinian voices in the besieged enclave. Now, quoting, "If this madness doesn't end, Gaza will be reduced to ruins, its people's voices silenced, their faces erased, and history will remember you as a silent witness to a genocide that you chose not to stop," he posted. What do you think this says about this particular journalist? For me, it echoes boldness and standing up for what is right, irregardless of his life being on the line.
Yes, I completely agree. It does show a level of humanity more than anything that I think a lot of people lack, especially with conflict areas and conflict zones. It does take a lot to report on these sorts of things, because for a lot of reporters and journalists who are on the ground within the occupying forces, wherever that may be, they usually are also running from whatever regime they're running from, like they're reporting on. So, for example, if Namibia was like an autocratic regime, and I was a lone journalist, you know, I would also be running around. I'd also be running around, fleeing from whatever the occupying forces were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does show the magnitude of journalism. It really does show how important it is that journalism and press freedom is championed in the world.
Yeah.
Because one of the main reasons why the entire world is so aware of this conflict, aware of the different conflicts that are happening in the world, because it's not just the Israel-Gaza conflict, Sudan conflict. It's it's the Congo conflict. Like, there, so many conflicts have been brought to light because of the hard work of journalists.
True.
On the ground, making sure that we understand and have real time authentic knowledge on the situation.
Mm.
It's a very scary thing, because most of these journalists, when they went to university or wherever they went to go and get their training, I don't think any of them ever thought that they would be in these positions at all.
Yeah.
You know, and it really does show that anything can change in the blink of an eye. And it also really does show that we need to keep championing the right for freedom of expression in a journalistic sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Hey, what message of caution or just a word to the journalists would you want to send out at this particular time and moment?
I think it's pretty clear that, especially in this day and age, social media makes it easier for us to be able to disseminate information.
Mm-hmm.
But for most journalists around the world, they don't have the opportunity to speak out on what it is, or they don't have the opportunity to really disseminate information freely and fairly because of extenuating factors. It's very important that, first of all, we need to be safe. We need to have accurate information. We need to make sure that everything is fact-checked. People are relying on journalists to have accurate news, and it is our responsibility to deliver that news in a way that is fair and balanced. And that is the word of warning, I would say, because the one thing in our profession is that your work will speak for yourself.
Yeah.
And no matter what happens, if your work and your news is accurate and truthful and balanced and unbiased, no matter what happens, you will be known and revered as a really good journalist.
Mm.
So that's the one thing I will say, because most of the people that are heralded in our field are the people who have these labels given to them because of their hard work. So yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Sean, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radar Analysis.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. We always appreciate your input.
Thank you. Bye.
Mm-hmm. And there you had it from Sean Jordan Wisab, who is also a journalist, sharing his sentiments in regards to the journalists who have been killed recently. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here. And when we're back shortly, it won't be too long, we'll be bringing you what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators and trading economics. Now, remember, you can also partake in the news analysis. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. We invite you to come and air opinions and ask questions right here on the Radar Analysis.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now for news, before news beyond the borders, and now for some economic indicators. Now we're starting off with the Namibian dollar compared to other currencies, and now to the $1 will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 52 cents, while €1 will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 51 cents. One Australian dollar, on the other end, will get you 11 Namibian dollars and 48 cents, and £1 will get you 23 Namibian dollars and 78 cents. One Japanese yuan is equal to 2 Namibian dollars and 44 cents, while one Botswana pula is 1 Namibian dollar and 31 cents. And now for some trading economics. WTI crude oil futures dropped to $62.7 per barrel, the lowest in over 2 months, after the International Energy Agency forecast a growing oil surplus this year and next. Inventories are expected to rise at a record pace and hit a 46-month high by June 2026. Reinforcing the U.S. government's similar outlook. Now, U.S. oil production is projected to peak this year before declining next year, boosted by greater efficiency at existing wells. Meanwhile, a U.S. industry report showed stockpiles rose slightly last week, with official data due later in the day. South Africa's retail sales rose by 1.6% year-on-year in June 2025, moderating from a 4.3% surge in the prior month. Now, sales moderated for textiles, clothing, footwear and leather goods at 4.6% versus 12.6% in May, and other retailers at 2.3% versus 3%, while declining for food, beverages and tobacco at minus 4.5% versus minus 2.4%, and general dealers at minus 0.2% versus 3.4%. Meanwhile, faster increases were seen for household furniture, appliances and equipment at 6.9% versus 6.8%, pharmaceuticals and medical goods, cosmetics and toiletries at 4.2% versus 1.7%, and hardware paint and glass at 5.4% versus 1.8%. Now, on a monthly basis, retail sales were flat after increasing by 0.2% in the prior month. Retail trade sales advanced by 3.7% in the second quarter of 2025 compared with the second quarter of 2024. India's BSE census closed about 0.4% firmer at 80,539.9 on Wednesday, reversing yesterday's losses driven by healthcare, mental and auto stocks. Cooling inflation boosted expectations for stronger discretionary spending, while reports of a potential meeting between PM Modi and US President Trump next month lifted hopes for resolving the tariff standoff. The Central Bank of Zambia left its benchmark interest rate unchanged at 14.5% during its regular meeting in August 13, 2025, marking the second consecutive hold. Policies noted that inflation has been trending downward since the last meeting, but remains above the 6-8% target, while uncertainties around trade policies and ongoing geopolitical tensions persist. Zambia's annual inflation rate decelerated for the third month to 13% in July 2025, reaching the lowest level since November 2023. It's expected to continue its downward trend over the next 8 quarters, reaching the targeted band by the first quarter of 2026, earlier than May 2025 projections. The updated forecast sees inflation at 13.3% in 2025 and 7.7% in 2025 and 7.7% in 2026. Stable in mid-2027, reflecting exchange rate gains, lower commodity prices and policy measures. On the 11th and 12th of August 2025, the Monetary Policy Committee MPC of the Bank of Namibia held its fourth bi-monthly meeting of 2025 to decide on the appropriate monetary policy stance for the next 2 months. Now, to continue safeguarding the peg between the Namibian dollar and the South African rand while supporting the domestic economy, the MPC unanimously decided to keep the repo rate unchanged at 6.75%. Now, this policy stance was informed after a thorough comprehensive review of current and projected domestic, regional and global economic developments. So the repo rate remains at 6.75%. This is On the Radar Analysis. Let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. When we do return, we shall be bringing you news beyond the borders. Stay tuned. You wouldn't want to miss that.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. Now, here's the point where we take you to news beyond the borders. We always start off regionally, then move over to continental news, thereafter some international news. Now, we're starting off in South Africa with the African Union AIP Water Investment Summit is underway. President Cyril Ramaphosa is the keynote speaker.
Let's pop you over straight to the Cape Town International Convention Center. President Cyril Ramaphosa delivering the African Union AIP Water Investment Summit keynote address. Let's listen in.
Your Excellency, President Kikwete, the former President of the Republic of Tanzania, distinguished guests and ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed an honor to welcome you all to Cape Town for the official opening of the Africa Water Investment Summit. This summit is a landmark moment, not only for Africa, but for the global movement for access to safe water for all. It is really pleasing to see so many people gathered here to come and discuss the issue of water on our continent. Gathered here are people who are in government, as ministers, as premiers, as deputy ministers, as mayors, and also as legislators, members of parliament. But gathered here are also people who are potential investors in water, and that is why this is dubbed an investment summit on water. As we walked in, I had a sense that indeed we have a lot of investors here, and I could smell money. I could feel money, and I hope you brought money here. We gather here as decision makers, as investors, as financiers, and as champions at a time when the world faces a deepening water crisis. Yet this is also at a moment of immense opportunity, because if we are able to rise together, water can become not just a means of survival, but a driver of economic transformation, innovation, and peace. This summit is rooted in a journey that began nearly a decade ago. In 2016, the high-level panel of water was launched by the then UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who addressed us a little while ago on video. as well as the World Bank President, Jim Kum-yong. At this event 9 years ago, 11 heads of state came together to rethink how the world should approach the challenge of water. Following their recommendations, the African Union established the Africa Water Investment Program and the International High-Level Panel on Water Investments for Africa. The panels set us the task to mobilize at least $30 billion a year by 2030 to close Africa's water investment gap. Now, earlier as we were meeting, President Kikwete, who has been involved in this whole process, was briefing us on how, having been involved right from the beginning, how this whole process has evolved to come to this point, and we are truly delighted to have President Kikwete with us today, continuing to be a true champion as co-chair of this whole water process. And let us give President Kikwete a round of applause.
Still in South Africa, Minister Mana Mela vows to fix NSFAF's, stabilize higher education and training sector.
Well, the Minister of Education and Training, Buti Manamela, has vowed that in the next 3 months, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme will be stabilized and his department will set in motion a sustainable student funding model and establish a post-school and education training re-engineering task team. So this was part of the department's reform plans, including six core objectives that were outlined by Manamela yesterday during his first media briefing as the new Minister of Higher Education and Training. He was appointed after President Cyril Ramaphosa removed his predecessor, Dr. Nebuhle Nkabane, over the scandal around the appointment of the CETA board chairpersons. The minister is here. He's in studio with us to talk more about his reform plans for higher education and the training sector. Good to see you, Minister.
Thank you so much.
Congratulated you.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I'm not saying that this is, it's a great honor, but certainly not the ideal situation to be taking over. How have you been handling so far?
Well, I mean, firstly, I had to get to talk to people who are in the sector, you know, so we started speaking to the people in the department. And our key message to them was that we have to get the department working. You know, we spoke to students, we spoke to academics, vice chancellors, principals, organized labor. We spoke to organized business and, you know, some of our quality councils and some of those institutions and organizations were quite pleased that, you know, in the last few years, they haven't had this relationship with, you know, higher education. So our mission, you know, without, I mean, outside of stabilizing some of the, you know, institutions that were beginning to fracture, is also to rebuild relations with, you know, our social partners. And that's why many of them emphasize the need for, you know, some form of social compact akin to what we had in the early days, you know, with the National Council on Higher Education, which was society saying this is what we expect of the education system, you know. So I think from those engagements, you know, so we think we need to move steadfastly in building a single system, you know, where community colleges feed into you know, into TVET colleges, into universities, and then into the labor market. But we're also going to be working closely with, you know, basic education because that's the supply side. But thirdly, we're going to work very closely with business because they have indicated their interest in, you know, helping us to navigate the ever-changing skills landscape, you know, and so that we can constantly be on par with them and with what they demand. I mean, if you look at newspapers, you know, on a daily basis, and we're going to try and do a deeper study of that, there are adverts of jobs. You know, and then on the other side, we also have now 10%. It probably has increased yesterday. You know, unemployed graduates. You know, so it means that there is something that we need to fix. What kind of graduates are we producing into the market? You know, are they fitting into jobs? Are they fitting into self-employment? You know, are they fitting into some form of formal or informal economic activity? So that's basically what we intend to do. And so the next 3 months will be laying the basis for that,
yeah,
to completely think about how do we re-engineer the system? How do we have you know, bigger community colleges, because I think that that's where the potential to absorb the more than 4 million young people who are not in employment, education or training, but also how do we expand our TVET college system so that they are, you know, quantitatively bigger than universities. So that's going to be what we're working on, you know, starting with the next 3 months into 4 years of the term of the government.
Zambia needs $34.7 billion US dollars for climate adaptation.
Zambia recently faced harsh realities of the climate crisis. From devastating floods to prolonged droughts, 84 out of 116 districts were affected in 2024, impacting nearly 9.8 million people. The severe drought also took a heavy toll on Zambia's energy generation capacity. Now, as local and international stakeholders gather in Lusaka for the high-level opening of the Global National Adaption Plan Expo 2025, the focus is on how countries can respond effectively to such climate challenges. Zambia has developed a national adaption plan covering 2023 to 2035, aimed at protecting lives and restoring ecosystems.
To effectively execute our national adaptation plan, Zambia requires $34.70 billion. As you will learn during the expo, Zambia is deploying innovative financing instruments such as the green bonds to marshal the resources required for the implementation of our national adaptation plan.
United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change has called on countries to accelerate the adoption of innovative climate solutions.
The theme of innovation calls on us to harness technology, finance, inclusive governance, community wisdom, all with a view to strengthening resilience driven by a vision of prosperity into the future.
Development partners have also reaffirmed their commitment to supporting Zambia's climate action efforts.
Networks, partnerships, and good practices that have emerged from past Expos and future strengthen our technical risk.
This expo serves as a vital platform for knowledge exchange, capacity building, as well as showcasing some of the innovative solutions to the climate crisis.
The government has also revealed several key interventions, including the installation of 200 automated weather stations to enhance timely and accurate weather and climate services. Additionally, the National Climate Change Policy is being revised to incorporate emerging issues such as green growth. Ruth Chainda, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Meanwhile, Uganda activists blame a teenage pregnancy on moral decay in homes.
According to the Uganda Demographic Health Survey of 2022, one in four girls aged 15 to 19 years have had a child or are pregnant. The survey further highlights that teenage pregnancy stagnated at 24% but increased from 19% to 21% in urban areas. This, according to child rights advocates, has contributed to the infant and maternal death, a burden that the country is currently grappling with. Titus Tumsime, the country director of Right to Play Uganda, says they carried out a study in the districts of Wiende and Adjumani, which revealed the high rate of teenage pregnancies there.
A place like Wiende had very few actors, so the need was there, and yet there are very few organizations that were acting and implementing projects there. So that we actually have boys' groups, and we also have girls' groups. And I'm happy to report one of the most amazing outcomes for us has been to see young boys championing issues of teenage pregnancies in communities.
The government, through different ministries, have put in place programs to help curb teenage pregnancies. However, the problem still persists. A section of members of parliament have attributed the problem to lack of values within families.
Girls don't just get pregnant. They are impregnated by men, and there is something that needs to be done to the men so that we can end the teenage pregnancy. It is even worse today because incest is actually on the increase. If you look at the number of girls getting pregnant, a good portion of them are also getting pregnant within their homes.
Parents are not doing what they are supposed to do. And what we are encouraging parents is to go back to their normal roots, to their traditional methods. You know, when we are growing, we could meet our uncles and they tell us what to do. The aunties would tell us what to do.
As parents, we ought to once again look at how we are raising this boy child. Because even today, you are seeing so many single mothers. What has happened? Why are men running away from families? Why is that family set up dying slowly? We need to rise up as a country, talk to this boy child once again, encourage the boy child to protect the girl child. We shall have a better country.
However, the government, through a strategy to end child marriage and teenage pregnancy in Uganda, hopes to eliminate teenage pregnancies by 2027.
Kenyan farmers use nature to promote human-elephant peace.
The average African elephant can eat 150 kilograms of vegetation or more a day. Their appetite often leads to conflict with humans as they search for food along migratory routes passed down through generations. In the mountainous region of Taita Taveta, near the Kenyan coast, farmers like Gertrude Jackin have been battling wild elephants for decades, especially during peak raiding times from October to January. Now, she has shifted her farming to sesame production, which elephants dislike.
Before, we used to plant maize, mung beans, cassava and pigeon peas. But now, the elephants are increasingly raiding our farms and some of us can't confront them. Someone like me can't confront them because I can't run after them because I'm old. Therefore, I'm doing sesame farming because the elephants don't eat it because of its scent.
Others like Richard Shika used to have to use flaming sticks and dogs to keep the elephants off his land. However, he is now among 50 farmers who installed beehive fences which deter elephants while providing honey as an additional income source.
If the elephants raid my crops, at least I can get honey from the beehives. I can sell the honey. Between January and March, I harvested about 5 kilograms and between April and June, I harvested 24 kilograms. I made a total of $463 after selling the honey. I can now educate my children.
Conservationists say human encroachment on traditional migratory routes exacerbates the conflict, with an estimated 30 to 35 people killed annually in elephant-related incidents, according to data from the Kenya Wildlife Service.
When poaching was eradicated from the world map and considered illegal, that's when the numbers of elephants started increasing again. And with that increasing, we found there was a spike in human-elephant conflict because these elephants, initially maybe they could fear some communities, but right now they could be roaming anywhere. So we find like one of the major causes like of human-elephant conflict is because of human factors. We find like the places or the infrastructure that us as humans, we do develop, they're the ones which hinder the migratory routes and paths which elephants used to take, maybe to go for water sources or maybe to look for like herbs or some certain kind of trees.
World Elephant Day is observed annually on 12th August to raise awareness about these issues. Conservationists are calling for natural deterrence rather than direct confrontation in order to keep both animals and humans safe. Crystal Onkel, CGTN.
AFDB commits $500 million to Ethiopia's new airport project.
The Bishoftu International Airport is expected to quadruple Ethiopia's current passenger capacity and handle over 3 million tons of cargo each year.
Bishoftu International Airport is more than just an infrastructure project. It will act as a catalyst for pan-African integration, economic growth, and tourism development, trade and cultural exchange, as well as connecting Africa to the world and vice versa. The project is scheduled for the completion in 2030.
The $10 billion mega airport will serve as a future hub for all international passenger and cargo traffic. The African Development Bank will coordinate efforts to raise $8 billion of the required financing, while state-owned Ethiopian Airlines will provide the remaining 20%.
Bishoftu International Airport, a mega airport. And this airport will be a game changer for transport in Africa, but not just in Africa. It will be a game changer for transport globally. The phase one, as we have heard, will do 60 million passengers. And that will grow to 110 million passengers in phase two.
Regional leaders have welcomed the project as a shared African vision.
The Ethiopian Airlines Group's Matihabu strategy is more than a business model. It is a blueprint for continental integration and progress. This initiative, therefore, is perfectly aligned with the African Union's vision for a single Africa air transport market, SATIM, and we are proud to be part of this journey, forging a path toward a more unified, prosperous, and resilient Africa.
Once complete, the mega airport will feature four runways, advanced cargo facilities, and direct road and rail links, creating tens of thousands of jobs and boosting trade, tourism, and investment across the continent. Beryl Oro, CGTN.
Ethiopia's Bishoftu Airport to boost African trade and tourism.
Let's delve into all of this with Tewodros Cisse, the Africa Economic Advisory Leader at Deloitte Africa. Great to have you on the show with us, sir. Now, of course, what we know is that Ethiopian Airlines will provide roughly 20% of the financing for this $10 billion ambitious project. What are your thoughts on the significance that we now have the AFDB agreeing to provide $500 million, a $500 million loan, and also act as a lead arranger of this deal? Will this ensure that the project will get the financing that it needs?
Thanks for having me, as always. Maybe I want to start with by saying, I mean, Ethiopian Airlines is a remarkable African story, not only for Ethiopia, for the continent as well. It's also a model showing SOEs, state-owned enterprises, can actually be run by professionals and become successful. So maybe coming to your question, the fact that FDB is becoming a lead arranger, not only that, also committing $500 million means a lot. One, it's putting a skin in the game as well from an FDB point of view. It's also telling other investors that they are willing to put money, not only raise the financing, the needed financing as well. This will help de-risk and then also entice other investors to come into the table as well. Maybe the other thing is as a lead arranger, the responsibility of AFDB will be to do due diligence and then make sure that the project is or the required project is done in a way that would allow other investors to come in. So this will give investors now a stamp of approval, given AFDB's AAA ratings, and then the fact that they are putting $500 million where their mouth is will help give confidence to investors. We can't say it's 100% success that will bring the money, but at least it increases the probability of raising the $10 billion that's required for this mega airport.
Now, this is going to be a huge project just in terms of the capacity that it will add to Ethiopia's aviation sector and also sectors such as tourism. Give us a sense of how significant this project will be to Ethiopia's economy and also its aviation sector as it is being constructed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the structure of the Ethiopian economy, services sector is actually driving a lot of the growth. And within the services growth, you'll see that Ethiopian Airlines actually plays a very key role driving economic growth in the country. So we can see it from a different angle. Maybe from the economics perspective, you can see that it generates a lot of foreign currency. Given that this mega airport will increase its capacity by almost fivefold, this will increase the country's capacity in terms of generating the foreign currency, not only from the passengers' point of view, but from the airport itself, from the passengers spending money at the airport, retail and the hotels and others. The other thing that I'm very much excited about is the job creation potential of this project. So it will create tens of thousands of jobs during the construction and after the construction, running the project as well. This will have a significant contribution to the country's economy. If you look at the currently Ethiopian Airlines contribution to GDP is very much significant, and this now will continue to increase, possibly growing by four times from where it is currently, which is around $2 billion at the current state.
Beijing pushes to commercialize embodied intelligence at the World Robotic Conference.
One of the main events on the final day of the 2025 World Robot Conference in Beijing is the World Robot Contest. The event brings together more than 10,000 competitors from across the world, representing over 6,000 teams. It highlights advanced applications across various robotics fields. In the Youth Robotics Design category, participants are tested not only on their technical knowledge, but also on their hands-on building skills and ability to work as a team. The competition aims to inspire creativity, drive technological innovation, and nurture the next generation of talent. It's a blend of gastronomy and embodied intelligence. The robot restaurant in Beijing debuted during the World Robot Conference. The venue, a living lab for human-robot interaction, drew global policymakers, tech leaders, and families, all seeing how machines redefine hospitality. Liu Chia-Shin has the report.
This is where tech meets gastronomy. Fans dance with projected patterns while robots pause through every corner. First-time visitors can't help but be stunned.
Wow, look at you. This dinosaur shell, the robot dog, really surprises me. For a heartbeat, it felt like I transported back to the Jurassic Park. Wow, and its sensor is right here. Actually, that's his, you know, real eyes.
It's amazing. I mean, well, we use the AI, but it's just like on the mobile. But it's a totally different experience when you have this AI inside the robot and talk to it. It feels more like, more natural.
It feels like a science center. I see a lot of kids. I think it's a great place to promote your STEM or STEAM. And I think it's also a great way to help, I think, people to be understand about robotics, be more comfortable with robotics, and also to start, I think, using robotics.
We hope to turn it into a real place for application testing. We welcome all kinds of robots to come to our space to capture data, conduct application tests, and apply their mature products to daily life.
Such application scenarios opened during the 2025 World Robot Conference. And for the first time, the Hong Kong SCR sent a delegation.
This time we brought more than 20 people with us, including people from...
And with that being said, we have come to the conclusion of today's On The Radar analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Loise Shimi. And of course, the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut at 16:30. Thereafter, from 1800 hours, David Chambe brings you the business economics segment. From Indafa, Happy Juju, it is goodbye. I will see you again tomorrow, same time, same place. That is on Eagle FM at 1300 hours to 1430 for On The Radar analysis. Goodbye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone. To become a subscriber,
why do you
simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address.
Why should you do that? Any person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura,
uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate. state to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, utekirwa kaguna, imatina, omjo. Chikao shafata na nana, longeshifa, ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro, nirandithoma, yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omupashi paraiki uimwepo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahe tatu imu. Ndatu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a...